the Fan on Demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, my co-host in studio is Tyler Mason. You can catch him online via Twitter, at Tyler Mason, myself, at Showdown Joe. And there is so much to talk about on this show. We will hear from the likes of UFC President Dana White, UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones, and the man who will be opposing him on The Ultimate Fighter next season, Mr. One Chael P. Sonnen, the Westland gangster, who I will, Tyler and I guess will discuss the genius that is Chael Sonnen. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. We'll also be joined by MMAJunkie.com's John Morgan, one of the best analysts in the sport today. He will discuss, he's a little ill. He actually texted me before the show. He's a little sick. So hopefully he can last a full segment with us. But if he does feel like he can't do it, I'll cut him off. I'll be glad to cut him off because he cuts me off all the time. But that's another story altogether. But first, great news for the sport of mixed martial arts in the country of Canada, as Bill S-209 has been introduced into the House of Commons. It's another big step to change Section 83 of the Criminal Code, something I've long referred to as being archaic. Maybe might not be a good word, because I'm sure Director of Operations for UFC Canada, Tom Wright, who will join us in 2 seconds, will probably be upset with me again for saying something like that. But first things first, Tyler, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I mean, I was off for 2 weeks, and I come back, and you've changed the name of the show.
No, I haven't changed anything, but I'm glad it's gone from the Showdown to UFC Central, and I'm super glad that it has gone to UFC Central. So let's bring on the head honcho for UFC Canada, Director of Operations, Mr. Tom Wright. Tom, how are you, sir?
Hey, Joe, I'm great. How are you, Tyler, too?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Listen, Joe, you know, to call Section 83 archaic is unfair to all the archaic laws out there.
That's fair enough, sir. So you are in Ottawa, obviously doing, you know, we could call it due diligence, but you're never stopping. You don't stop. You're always trying to do so many different things for the Ultimate Fighting Championship and for the sport of MMA. Can you bring us up to speed on how everything went down today in the capital of the country?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Joe. Listen, it was an important day for our sport of mixed martial arts. The bill that you referred to earlier was a Senate bill, Senate S-209, which was a bill to amend the criminal code that really speaks to the legalization of mixed martial arts, because as you well know, the criminal code, which this particular Section 83 was written back in 1934, only refers to professional boxing. And in that sense, obviously, MMA wasn't around then. It's silent on this issue of whether our sport is legal. And so we felt it was very important to have this section of the criminal code amended. We went the route of having a private members bill through the Senate. Senator Bob Runciman got that started, a while back, probably 6-8 months ago. We got it through the Senate for first, second readings, and into committee work, and then through the third reading and a vote. And now it's time for it to go through the House of Commons. As you probably know, every piece of legislation has to go through both the House of Commons and the Senate. In this case, we've now started through the House of Commons, and a Liberal member of Parliament from Montreal, a gentleman by the name of Massimo Pichetti, he introduced it. It was seconded by Justin Trudeau as well as Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf's well known to probably people on your show because you know, he's a former MMA fighter that also happens to be the Conservative MP from Whitehorse, from the Yukon Territory. And so, you know, this is sort of a very important step to get this this part of the criminal code changed and get it contemporized and reduce this ambiguity that surrounds our sport and really provide a consistent regulatory environment for our sport to be taken care of provincially and territorially across the country.
What is the estimated time, do you think, before it actually becomes full law?
You know, Joe, it's a great question. You know, it's a very regimented process that has to go through first readings and debate, second reading and debate. And as often these laws then go to committee, and that comes back for a third reading. It can take anywhere from this process can take anywhere from 3 months to 9 months. And so we could be finished by end of the year, or we could be finished by the middle of next year. But you know what? We can really sense, you know, to use a football metaphor, that we're in the red zone and we're getting close, and we'll push this over.
Fair enough. Now, for those that are unaware of Section 83 and the change that Bill S-209 will make, for those that perhaps we can say uninitiated to what it actually means, you mentioned that, you know, there's an ambiguity there with defines boxing with the hands. There was changes in Ontario, boxing with the hands and feet. But this is now a federal situation where, you know, hopefully the you know, again, ambiguity will not be something that the various commissions will look to say, well, you know what, technically it's illegal. This hopefully will redefine everything so the sport itself can be sanctioned by all the provincial and or municipal commissions.
Absolutely. And there won't be a situation, you know, as we've experienced in British Columbia and particularly in Vancouver, where a municipality will turn to us and say, you know what, this sport really, if something were to happen and we were sanctioned it technically is illegal because the criminal code is silent on this. It speaks to boxing, not MMA. So in order for us to allow an event to happen, we have to have this kind of indemnification. We have to have these kinds of really egregious kinds of insurance. And Joe, as you well know, I mean, the City of Vancouver entered into a two-year test period for professional mixed martial arts in the City of Vancouver. And over the two-year test period, there are only two events. And they happen to be UFC 115 and UFC 131 because the requirements to satisfy the City Council in Vancouver were way too onerous for every promotion other than ourselves. And frankly, that's not what we want. We want to make sure that we have an opportunity for the sport to grow, the sport to gain new fans and to have our athletes have opportunities to compete. And it shouldn't be restricted by insurance and indemnification issues that are tied to an archaic, to use your words, segment of the criminal code. So this eliminates that. This provides for that consistent regulatory environment that I talked about earlier, and it provides us with an opportunity to go to every single province and territory and say, we'd like to see this happen, and there isn't an excuse from a legality point of view to throw back at us.
You're listening to Tom Wright, the Director of Operations for UFC Canada. And Tom, talking about the province of British Columbia and the City of Vancouver, there was talk of the Provincial Commission moving forward, almost being completed. They've sent off a various amount of emails to certain folks out there to say, if you have any suggestions or thoughts, you know, from the public forum, what do you want to do? What do you think we should do as a province or as a commission? Do you have any update on what Vancouver and or British Columbia is doing right now with the Provincial Commission?
Joe, thanks for asking. I don't have an update right now, but I can tell you I'm actually heading to Victoria. I'll be there a week Monday. Mark Ratner, who is our Senior Vice President for Regulatory Affairs out of Las Vegas for Zuffa, probably well known to a lot of listeners. He is the man when it comes to regulatory issues and law in our sport. He and I are meeting with the Deputy Minister in Victoria next a week this Monday, and I'll get a first-hand update as to how the discussions are going and what kind of input they're receiving. You know, I'm very hopeful that it's moving along really well. We invited several members from the BC bureaucracy, those individuals in the commission that are charged with pulling together the regulations, and we invited several of them to UFC 149 in Calgary. They had an opportunity to visit with other commissions from across the country to see a significant professional MMA event in action. We had good meetings with them. I'm sure they got an opportunity to see and learn lots. And as you and I have chatted in the past, I mean, you know, there's a lot of heavy lifting that's already been done for our sport. And so it's not like you have to reinvent the wheel. It's a question of taking a look at the commissions that already are in place, what kind of regulations are entrenched across this country and across North America. And there's a lot of exemplary commissions out there to look to. And maybe some fine-tuning to reflect what's going on in their own marketplace. But after that, I think because of a lot of work that's been done over the last 10, 12 years, hopefully this will go quite smoothly in British Columbia.
And the byproduct of yourself, Tom Wright, attending all these cities, Ottawa, Victoria, Vancouver, who knows if you're in the Maritimes, You know the fans are going to come after me if I don't ask you, is there an update on any other cities other than Toronto and Montreal of potentially hosting either A, a pay-per-view event, or B, a fight night?
No, but you know, I don't have anything right now, but I can tell you, Joe, that we're not that far away from announcing our full 2013 schedule. You know, right now I can tell you that there's going to be at least four events in Canada, and you know that two of them are going to be in Montreal and Toronto because we've announced those two cities as annual tentpole locations for the UFC in 2013 and 2014. And, you know, there's going to be at least two cities that, you know, may surprise a few people when we come out with our schedule. And right now we're looking at an additional three, so a total of five events in Canada for 2014. So lots to look forward to, and I, for one, am really looking forward to, you know, to not only those things, but I'm also looking really forward to a month ago, basically yesterday,
yep.
It's going to be UFC 154 in Montreal, and we'll finally get a chance to see the welterweight champion George St. Pierre come back and you know, enter into the octagon. It's been a long time since he fought. The last time he fought was in Canada at UFC 129, and he's going to have his hands full with the natural born killer, but Carlos Condit is going to be there, our interim welterweight championship champion. It's going to be a, you know, that kind of unification bout is going to be terrific.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. And Sportsnet's going to have all kinds of marathons leading up to that event, sending me over to Montreal on November 1st to deal with George St. Pierre, Faraz Ahabi, and the guys at TriStar. I'm not going to lie to you, Tom. I've got goosebumps, and Tyler can confirm the goosebumps on my arms, the fact that you mentioned there could be four events in 2013, five in 2014. But let me step away from the microphone momentarily because Tyler has his finger up in the air. He's dying to ask you a question. Tyler, go ahead.
All right, Tom, I have a couple of questions. One, I'd like to know if there's any update on a possible Ultimate Fighter Canada. I know there's been talk of it in the past, and just wondering if you have any kind of update on that.
We're getting closer to being able to announce something. And you know, I don't have to tell you guys what happens when you have a tough event. You know, tough Brazil, tough in the United States. There's always a tough finale. So, you know, what are those events that you're talking about for 2013? Joe, there'll be a tough finale that happens after Tough Canada.
I can't deal with this anymore. I got to leave the station. I'm going nuts right now.
Sorry, buddy. So that's going to be a lot of fun, but I don't have. You know, you have to wait until it's finalized, and in this case, we don't have to have necessarily. We have to wait for Dana to announce it, but when we've got our ducks in a row, I'll announce it, and hopefully, we'll be able to announce it with you guys and your fans and your listeners will be the first to hear about it.
And back to the federal bill. Because it's a federal bill, is there any other legislative hurdles that you have to go through after this, or is this pretty much one of the final things that we're going to have to deal with, I guess, on a government level?
Well, you know, Tyler, it's a great question. On a federal level, this really should close the books. You know, as you know, the laws of the land are principally outlined in our criminal code, and that is a federal situation. But when it comes to individual the regulatory requirements that are necessary provincially and territorially, obviously those need to be dealt with at the more local level. So, you know, we still have some work to do. We're sanctioned and regulated provincially in six provinces. So we've got BC, we've got Saskatchewan, we've got Newfoundland Labrador, and we've got Prince Edward Island to deal with. And of course, at some point, we need to take care of the three territories as well. I mean, one of our goals as an organization, UFC Canada, I presented a business plan down in Las Vegas two, 3 months ago, and one of our goals is to have our sports sanctioned in all 10 provinces and three territories by then in 2015. So that's what we want to do. And you know what? You can understand that it's really all about the sport. I mean, there's not much opportunity for us, being the UFC, to take an event to Whitehorse, for instance. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other opportunities for our athletes and people want to get involved in our sport to be able to compete and learn and grow. And so I think it's really important that these kinds of consistent regulatory environments, which really are there to protect the health and safety of the athletes, are present, you know, in all parts of Canada, from coast to coast to coast. So, you know, I think we'll hopefully be done on a federal side, but we still have some provincial work to do.
Tom, thank you very much for joining us today. Go get some sleep, sir.
Hey, my pleasure, Joe, and look forward to seeing you. I may see you down in at TriStar in early November, but failing that, I know I'll see you on November the 17th in Montreal. UFC 154 is going to be awesome. There's, we still have a few tickets left to sell, so you can pump those for us too, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you very much once again.
Bye-bye.
There you have it, the UFC Canada Director of Operations, the man himself, Tom Wright. Coming up after the break, we will dissect this news of John Bones Jones and Chael Sonnen as coaches on The Ultimate Fighter. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. My co-host in studio is Tyler Mason. You can catch him online via Twitter, at Tyler Mason, myself, at Showdown Joe. You heard from Tom Wright. Great. I'm ecstatic about the news that there could be four events next year in Canada, five in 2014. The Ultimate Fighter, an announcement could be forthcoming soon. I might have good news about the Ultimate Fighter's tune, but that's another story altogether. So lots of stuff happening. Imagine an event in Yellowknife, Tyler.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be necessarily a UFC event, too.
That'd
be
sick.
I think it's important. This kind of law also allows for, you know, a lot of upstart promotions everywhere.
Oh, get me started on that. I want to ask Tom about, does this mean, and I think I know the answer, but does this mean anything for amateur mixed martial arts? It probably doesn't because, you know, it's more of a law dictating professional MMA. I wish it would. You know what? I don't want to get this amateur MMA topic altogether because it can get really ugly.
It's a whole can of worms.
Yeah, that's.
Although I am excited.
Hashtag bitter.
I'm excited one day for them to have an event out east.
Yeah, and the Maritimes. I would love to. I mean, there's a lot of fans out in Halifax. I see them on my Twitter. PEI, like Tom said, there's so many different people out east, that would, I mean, there's a market there for sure.
Yeah, and I'd wager Mr. TJ Grant would probably be on the card.
Well, TJ Grant, you got Sportsnet's Ken Reed. You know, Jason McDonald might love to have a retirement fight in Nova Scotia. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, it's one of those things. But all right, the big news this week, obviously, was the announcement by the Ultimate Fighting Championship that Chael Sonnen will take on John Bones Jones in April 27th. But before that, they have been selected as the next coaches of the Ultimate Fighter, which, by the way, will move from Fridays to another day during the week once that season goes to air. So that's I think that's great news for Sportsnet, in my opinion. But it remains to be seen if we can show it live, because there are rights that we have to adhere to. And people have to understand that. You know, it doesn't mean that I agree with it. It's just a fact of the business. So people need to relax. Hopefully we can air it live. If we can't, FX Canada gets it first. That's just the way it's going to be, guys. Just, you know, don't complain. That's just the way it is. And by the way, Behind the Glass, the dynamic duo of Dan Riccio and Igor Enriquez put together a fabulous show here, with the exception of Igor and his Portuguese soccer team. I don't think he's recovered, to be honest with you, based on what happened against Russia, coached by fellow Italian Fabio Capello, I might add. And Riccio, you and I have a busy, busy Saturday at noon. Juventus taking on Napoli. I'm stressed, but I'll be missing the game because tomorrow night I'm heading to London, or actually tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. I'm heading to London to go do a nice little feature with Sam Stout and Mark Hominick. There'll also be a check presented to the Heart and Stroke Foundation from Joe Botnick, who put together the exceptional golf tournament for Sean Tompkins. That'll be a nice presentation there. And then I'm heading to Sarnia for the Score Fighting Championships, or the Score Fighting Series, excuse me, six, with Chris Hordeski in the main event taking on Brad Cardinal. I'll be there talking to all the guys and having a good time because, as you know, Sportsnet did purchase the Score, and I have a keen eye of paying attention to what's happening with SFS. So, I'll be there in the house having a good time, watching some fights, and obviously working at the same time. But the big news, as I said, Tyler, this week is the craziness of just headline after headline and opinions and thoughts and stuff like that. Before we get to the clips from Dana White, Chael Sonnen, and John Jones, do you want to give your quick, brief opinion on when you first heard the news? What went through your mind?
Well, I'll try to keep it brief, but it's going to be hard with there's a lot to bite off here. But first of all, there's a lot of pros and cons here. I mean, obviously the pros are going to be the short-term business. They're going to make a lot of money on that fight. A lot of people, you know, are interested in it. And the Ultimate Fighter with the move and, you know, arguably one of your biggest stars and one of your biggest draws on the television show, the ratings are sure to improve as well. So, I mean, that's the pros. The cons, in my opinion, are the long-term ramifications as far as what it says about MMA as a sport. And if you're just going to make matchups based on, you know, pay-per-view numbers and money and not on merit, I think there's a huge problem. Because, yes, when Chael Sonnen was stepping in, I was one of those people that was interested. I thought it was, you know, it was an interesting fight on short notice. And it made John Jones look bad, which is rare, because, you know, anytime he's fighting, he's pretty much destroying everybody. But this time is different because it's months and months away, and you have a lot of contenders waiting in the wings to get their chance who've earned that shot. And Chael Sonnen's coming off two losses at middleweight, and he's moving up and hasn't even fought in the division. So I think there's a huge problem there as far as what it says for the sport. So, I think long-term, not so good. Short-term, probably pretty good.
And a variety of fighters were complaining who didn't get this fight, and Dana White addressed it during the conference call. Here's what he had to say.
Every one of these guys that are bitching about a title shot now were offered the fight and turned it down. They refused to fight John Jones. Now they're bummed out because Chael stepped up on 8 days' notice, and he's going to coach the Ultimate Fighter and fight him.
And then Chael Sonnen chimed in with his thoughts, responding to all the critics who said, hey, you know what? You shouldn't be there. Well, you know, Chael Sonnen's not going to say nothing. Here's what he had to say.
Welcome to life. We don't deserve things. You get what you get. And let's understand, not one of those fighters said, hey, Dana, I'll fight Chael. Hey, Dana, let me prove that I'm the number one contender. Let me fight that guy. Not one of them.
And of course, it's not a matter of who wants to fight Chael. It's a matter of who wants to fight John Jones. So Dana White made it clear as to why Chael Sonnen actually did get this fight.
Obviously, Chael wants this fight, has been asking for this fight. The fans wanted this fight. Yeah, there's some people now that are saying, oh, this is ridiculous.
Now, Chael Sonnen is a guy that'll fight anyone at any time. We all know that. This guy's fearless. He's done a masterful job on talking his way into a title. I'll get to that momentarily, but here's Chael Sonnen talking about fighting anyone at any time.
The only fighter to call Jones out is me. Nobody calls me out. I don't turn down fights, and I never get hurt. I will fight anybody at any time. So these guys can go say all these things they want, but not one of them has stepped up.
And John Jones is the champion. He's the champion for a reason. We know Chael Sonnen's not. Chael Sonnen has never won a title. I don't know about the WEC situation with Filho, but at the same time, John Jones makes it clear that he is the champ.
I absolutely know I can beat Chael, and I'm, you know, really confident going into this based on, you know, my skill set, my youth, versatility, and you know, I'm a championship fighter, you know, and I don't think Chael's really a guy who knows how to win championships.
So the shots are being taken. Now, Chael Sonnen made it clear that he has his own version, and this is a guy that was trying to get on the Olympic team in terms of what this Ultimate Fighter. He calls it a tournament, and he's got a great respect, and he took a shot at the media when he said most of the media don't understand what this show is all about.
This is a tournament that is tougher than the Olympic Games, tougher than the NFL playoffs, and that storyline constantly gets missed. This is no more reality TV than an NFL playoff or the Olympics were. The bottom line is this is a tournament.
Now, John Jones obviously has his thoughts on Chael Sonnen, the fighter, and of course Chael Sonnen, the man. Here's what the champ had to say about Sonnen.
He goes out there and he gets what he wants, everything except for world championships or any championships. You know, so, you know, he's a good talker, definitely good for the sport in some ways, extremely disrespectful, not much of a championship-level athlete at all.
And of course, he said, you know, Chael Sonnen was eventually asked on his thoughts on the champion, on John Jones, and here's what he had to say.
I think John Jones is the best fighter that I've ever seen. If I was to compare him to somebody, I mean, I would put Randy Couture above him. A lot of that's just out of respect. I don't believe he's Randy Couture, but I believe he's fantastic.
Now, we heard from Dana White, we heard from Chael Sonnen, we heard from John Bones Jones, we heard from Tyler Mason. If you haven't read my article on sportsnet.ca/590 or just sportsnet.ca/MMA, I kind of said, listen, Dan Henderson, in my opinion, should be the next guy in line to get the title shot, or at least somebody deserving in the division, not a guy like Chael Sonnen, who hasn't competed in this division, I think, since 2007. But I made one point crystal clear. On August 17th, Chael Sonnen, I think a day earlier, he announced that he was fighting Forrest Griffin. He was moving up to light heavyweight. He's fighting Forrest Griffin at the year-end show. A couple days later, he tweets to John Jones, starts a little diatribe with John Jones. I immediately came on this radio show. I was on UFC Central. I'm pretty sure I tweeted it. I put it on my Facebook. I said, the seed has been planted. Chael Sonnen is commencing the same thing he did at 185 pounds with Anderson Silva. He's going to begin talking his way into a title fight. Everyone got all freaked out, blah, 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 it's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I said, you mark my words. You have to understand Chael Sonnen, not the fighter, the businessman. This guy has a method to his madness. Lo and behold, here he is. The next guy John Jones will defend his title against is Chael Sonnen. This guy's a master marketer. He knows exactly what he's doing. He firmly believes he can beat John Jones no matter what the odds makers say or no matter what the public says that John Jones is a heavy favorite. Chael Sonnen doesn't care. Chael Sonnen will go in there and do whatever he can to become a world champion. Do I think he's going to win? I don't think he's going to win. And I think the deserving person is Dan Henderson. But this is the mixed martial arts business. This is business 101. People... You don't have to like it, you don't have to agree with it, but you're going to have to accept it. This is how the UFC is going to run their business. And a lot of fans have to look in the mirror before they complain about this fight because the fans wanted this fight. If there wasn't a huge amount of people on Twitter blasting Dana White and the UFC saying, you know, put Chael Sonnen in there, we want to see Sonnen and John Jones and blah, 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 the fight would never take place. But because there's a demand there, the UFC said, you know what, we're going to put this together.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting, and I definitely think fans are going to show up to watch, because I think fans will show up to watch Chael Sonnen pretty much do anything, especially if he's going to be talking the entire time in The Ultimate Fighter. But one thing that kind of grabbed me is Dana White was saying that John wasn't going to be available to fight because of his injury, so he was out until April. And we had Dan Henderson and Lyoto Machida both kind of in a position where they're the next in line, and it pretty much kind of leads itself to, you know, logically, that those two would fight each other in a title eliminator, and then whoever wins would get the shot against John Jones when he's healthy. This just seems like it came out of left field, especially with the amount of time in between now and The Ultimate Fighter. And I'm one of those guys that I don't really like the title being held up on The Ultimate Fighter. I mean,
you've been very clear about that every time
you put a title on The Ultimate Fighter. It pretty much means that title is not going to be defended for like 6 months, because you have the 3 month taping, then you have the 3 months preparation, and then, you know, you have the fight. So it holds up the entire division, and you're going to have a backlog of guys in the light heavyweight division. We saw it with the welterweight title with George St. Pierre when he was on there with Josh Koscheck. And we've seen it time and time again. So I think that's one of the issues that we're going to find. There's going to be a ton of contenders waiting. And by that time, maybe Dan Henderson's, you know, he's further to the end of his career. I mean, he's not getting any younger.
Well, in defense of Dana White, I think he did state on the conference call that everything will work itself out because Shogun and Gustafsson are fighting. Chances are the winner of that will get a title shot. Henderson isn't ready to fight yet. Machida doesn't have an opponent. If he fights Henderson, by the time that fight takes place and by the time the Sonnen and Jones fight takes place, everything will even itself out. And I have no problem believing that. But again, it remains to be seen. We've seen what happened. 2012 will always go down as the year of injury for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. But to talk more about this stuff and a whole whack of other headlines in the world of mixed martial arts, we're going to hear from MMA Junkies' John Morgan coming up after the break. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Welcome to UFC Central. Once again, I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network, heard right across the country of Canada. And of course, my co-host in studio, as always, is Tyler Mason. You can catch him online via Twitter, at Tyler Mason. Yours truly on Twitter, at Showdown Joe. And our next guest, lead staff reporter for MMAJunkie.com, MMA writer for USA Today Sports, co-host of MMAJunkie.com Radio. Actually, I've never been on the show with John. I don't think they'll put us on in the same room because it happens at the Mandalay Bay. I'm always on with Gorgeous George, but never with John Morgan. He's also a columnist and staff writer for Fighters Only magazine. You can catch him on Twitter at MMA Junkie John. He is ill. He's not feeling very well, but we're going to do the best we can to make sure John lasts the full segment here. He has a legacy to protect. Mr. Morgan, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I may get winded in the first round, but I'm going to go out swinging.
That wouldn't surprise anyone, though. Let's be honest for a second.
That's just not right. I should just hang up right now.
So. All right. First things first, John. The biggest headline, and first things first, actually, let's hope you get better real soon so you don't spread any of your germs the next time I see you. Let's be honest for a second. The big headline this week, John, Chael Sonnen, John Bones Jones, Dana White announcing that these two will not only be coaches on The Ultimate Fighter, which will be moving from Fridays to another day, they will also compete against one another, likely in New Jersey, on April 27th. Now, when you first heard this news, what went through your mind?
Well, in a lot of ways, it seemed like it came out of nowhere. I mean, it just came out of left field, and you didn't know where it came from and why the matchup was put together. But once you hear the reasoning and the logic behind it, it's still a little bit crazy, to be honest with you. It's not about rankings, but, you know, I think that's something about this sport that people need to understand and have been trying to get across to folks for a long time. And yes, this is sports, but it's entertainment as well. And you know, MMA is a little bit different than most sports, and it's not just all about wins and losses and rankings and setting up playoff brackets and all those things. It's about putting together a product that people will pay for. And, you know, Joe, I mean, me, myself, as kind of a hardcore fan, so to speak, somebody that follows the sport, and you, I'm sure, would agree as well, you know, the fight itself doesn't look very intriguing on paper. I mean, you know, when you start talking about intangibles and mental approach and all those things that can happen, yes, it might get a little bit interesting. But as far as, you know, the pure physical breakdown of the fight, it seems to be pretty one-sided in John Jones' favor. But you are going to have an entire season of The Ultimate Fighter to build up to the fight, which I think is going to be some fantastic television. And, you know, for the casual fan who really doesn't follow the ins and outs of the sport, especially on a technical basis, on a daily basis, I think it's intriguing. I think it's fun. You know, it's John Jones, this champion that is for some reason either loved or hated by the masses, and Chael Sonnen, who was definitely either loved or hated. And I think it's an interesting clash of personalities that's been brewing for a couple of months. And while it is a little bit weird, to be honest with you, I think at the end of the day, it's a fun decision.
Now, I made it clear on August 17th was the day when Chael Sonnen first announced that he was taking on Forrest Griffin at the year-end show. And then 2 days later, he tweets out something. He takes a shot at John Jones. And I said, there you go. The first seed has been planted. Chael Sonnen will talk his way into a title. And I got blasted, as always. When don't I get blasted, sort of thing. Now, lo and behold, Chael Sonnen has talked his way into a title. Is this guy a master businessman, or is this guy a master promoter, or is he just lucky?
Well, Joe, you deserve to be blasted either way, whether you're right or wrong, I think. But you know what? Chael is fantastic. He's all those things, man. He is a great athlete as well. I mean, we think about the losses to Anderson Silva, but, you know, losses to Anderson Silva happen to everybody. If you look back at his record and the people he's dropped fights to, you have to admit he's one of the best fighters in the world. I think he is a master businessman. I think, you know, kind of in the line of a Tito Ortiz, who figured out very quickly that if you just talk a lot of trash, you know, whether people love you or whether they want to pay to see you get your tail kicked, it doesn't matter as long as they're willing to put the $55 down on Saturday night. And I think that's what Chael Sonnen has figured out. It's funny because me personally, Joe, and I don't know how you have been, but you know, I've kind of gone through this whole evolution with Chael Sonnen because in the beginning, you know, I was there when he first busted out the shtick. It was at a WEC Q&A session, you know, attended by not very many, where he really started going on, you know, his role regarding Anderson Silva and regarding everything else. It was funny, man. The comments that he came with were just stuff that we had never heard before, and it was really, really funny. And then after a while, I started getting very tired with it, especially when you could never get a straight answer out of Chael Sonnen. And the things that he was saying, you know, the stuff about being the real champion and walking around with a fake belt and saying that was the title and, you know, all those things that were just complete nonsensical and obviously, you know, untrue, were frustrating. As a journalist, you're trying to get a straight answer. You're trying to get feelings, emotions, true facts and all those things. And Chael provides none of that. But at the end of the day, it works. And I've kind of come, you know, full circle again where I now think it's entertaining again. I don't think we need everybody in the sport to beat Chael Sonnen. I think if everybody was taking the same approach, it would get tiresome very, very quickly. But, you know, to have a couple personalities like this in the sport is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, again, this is entertainment. And while there are matchups, I mean, let's be honest, John Jones has just run through the 205-pound division. He's defeated former champions. He put together one of the best calendar years we've ever seen in the sport. It's not like there's a lot of contenders that are just screaming to be number one. You know, if we were passing over contenders at lightweight for somebody to fight Chael Sonnen, if we were passing over contenders at welterweight to fight Chael Sonnen, I think we'd be doing a disservice to the sport. But right now, I won't say the 205-pound division is at a stalemate, but there's guys like Alexander Gustafsson, like Glover Teixeira, who are probably in the mix, who probably deserve to be looked at, but who are not, you know, screaming, I'm the number one contender right now, give me a fight. And so this gives an opportunity for John Jones to heal up. It gives an opportunity for FX to make a splash with The Ultimate Fighter. It gives an opportunity for John Jones and Chael Sonnen to market themselves once again. And then when we're through with all that, then we'll have a more legitimate light heavyweight title fight. So I tell you what, I'm on board with this. It was surprising, but I'm on board with it. And I think Chael Sonnen has really proven himself a master businessman, a master promoter, and I think, you know, fighters around the globe should take note. Chris Weidman was in Brazil this past week, and I was able to sit down and talk to him on a number of occasions while he was down there. And in talking to Chris, you know, he really does feel like Anderson Silva. He won't use the word ducking him, you know, very seriously. He has said it, but he laughs when he says it. But he does feel like he's being slighted because he doesn't feel like Anderson Silva will give him the fight. And I said, well, have you considered going, you know, the Chael Sonnen route? And it just doesn't sit well with him. He wants to be the good-natured sportsman who keeps his mouth shut and just says, hey, if I win, I'll eventually get there to the top. And that's an admirable attitude and a great way to look at things. But as we're finding out, it's not always the best-case scenario. Sometimes you got to speak up and say why you deserve the fight.
And I couldn't agree with you more. Now, one thing that people need to understand, first things first, they're listening to John Morgan, lead staff reporter for MMAJunkie.com. I don't know where John is coming from saying Chael Sonnen has a fake belt. Chael Sonnen is a world champion. I don't know what division it's in. He obviously earned that UFC belt that he carries. I don't know what John Morgan is speaking of, but I do know Tyler Mason has a question for John Morgan.
Well, it's actually a question for both of you, but I'd like to get John's take on it first. The early odds are obviously in John Jones' favor for this fight, and I guess all of us would probably agree it looks like it's his fight to take. But going into the Ultimate Fighter show, which of the two do you think is going to come out the better coach?
I personally think Chael Sonnen is going to come out as the better coach. I think we've seen it in the past. I think back to when, like, Tito Ortiz and Ken Shamrock went in against each other, and Tito Ortiz was kind of the heel going in and the hero coming out. I think Chael Sonnen really is passionate about coaching, about teaching, about building camaraderie, and I think he's really going to give a lot to his team. I think John Jones is also going to give a lot to his team, but John Jones is still a very young man who has absolutely no concept of leading a team. I think he's really going to leave it up to his coaches, and I think he joked on Twitter the other day that, you know, he just realized his fighters are probably going to be older than he is, and while they'll certainly look up to him and be aware of his skills, I think that John Jones is going to struggle a little bit, and probably it'll be a learning process for him. And so I think Chael Sonnen will probably actually come out looking a little bit better, not to mention that Chael Sonnen on camera is just absolutely smooth. I mean, we're on a media call the other day that we streamed on MMAJunkie.com, but, you know, those things aren't meant for public consumption. That's meant for media consumption more than anything. And yet still, you know, Chael Sonnen is on point for moment one. This guy gets it. There's a camera in his face. He is in character and doing his thing and doing the promotion thing, and I think he's going to look fantastic. John Jones, while an intelligent and well-thought-out, well-spoken man, doesn't always come across as smooth and slick when he's talking in the public, whether it be at a press conference, an interview, or, you know, some of the FX and Fuel TV stuff we've seen him done. It seems like he kind of second-guesses himself a little bit, kind of, you know, thinks things through as he's saying them rather than thought out ahead of time, whereas Chael Sonnen has none of that hesitation. So I think, A, as a coach, Chael Sonnen's going to look like a whiz, and B, as just an on-camera personality, you know, we know he's going to kill it there.
Yeah, and to address your question, Tyler, I firmly believe Chael will come out looking like the better coach because this is what he does pretty much also for a living. He spends a lot of time in Oregon with the youth, always teaching wrestling. He's a spectacular guy. And, you know, like John says, I think a lot of fans, I mean, if you're listening to this radio show, you've heard me say it many times with some of the stuff that I say, some of the stuff that I write, some of the stuff that you see on television. You need to read between the lines. If you listen to what John said about Chael Sonnen, you need to read between the lines because Chael Sonnen on camera is one guy. Chael Sonnen off camera is another guy. He is a genius, in my opinion. He's got skills, and he's an athlete. Now, before we get to athletes, George St. Pierre is one of the biggest athletes this country has ever produced. The talk coming out after the Anderson Silva-Stephen Bonner fight was, would it be Anderson Silva versus GSP next? Would it be Anderson Silva versus John Jones next? I tweeted and made it clear, based on the intel that I have, being with George St. Pierre's camp every so often, I don't see that fight happening with Anderson Silva unless Anderson Silva decides to drop to 170. I think the John Jones versus Anderson Silva fight would come first. Now, I said that before the announcement with Chael Sonnen, but today Global released, Global was the television partner for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, John. They released an interview with Anderson Silva where Anderson Silva is now sort of warming up to a John Bones Jones fight, perhaps at catchweight. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's intriguing because, you know, on Saturday night I was in Rio de Janeiro and I actually asked him specifically, you know, he turned it down and said, I'm not interested in that fight. And I said, Anderson, you know, please get us to understand why you're not interested in it, especially if this is something that fans want to see. And Dana White basically, you know, made it clear that, hey, you know, he would back the bank truck up to Anderson Silva's house and just dump money in his front yard to take this fight. And at the time, Anderson said, no, you know, I've got teammates that can fight at 205, and I'm just not interested in that. You know, they've talked in the past about not affecting each other's legacies, which I think is insane. So I'll be honest with you. I hope that's the fight that happens. I love Georges St. Pierre. He's a fantastic champion, probably the greatest welterweight in the history of the sport. You know, Matt Hughes obviously had a fantastic run during his prime as well. But Georges St. Pierre, you know, obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer and one of the top pound-for-pound fighters. But just, you know, I don't think fans necessarily have an appreciation of the size of the athletes that Georges St. Pierre and Anderson Silva are. I know they only fight a division apart, but when you stand next to them, they don't strike you as a division apart. And I think Anderson Silva is just a little bit too big, a little bit too long, a little bit too quick. I don't think it, stylistically that's a great matchup for Georges St. Pierre. If they put the fight together, and it sounds like that's at least a possibility, if Georges St. Pierre gets by Carlos Condit in November, which, of course, is not a gimme fight. Carlos Condit is a monster. But if Georges St. Pierre can get through that fight, it looks like it's at least a possibility. And if they do it, similar to the fact of John Jones and Chael Sonnen, you know, casual people will care. It is a fight I think that will get a lot of worldwide attention, you know, simply because of the nationalistic pride of the countries. Certainly they're two of the top athletes from their countries, and if you could do something at like Cowboy Stadium in Dallas, I mean, how fantastic would that be? But I got to be honest with you, the fight I do want to see is Anderson Silva and John Jones, and it's for a number of reasons. Number one, the size of those athletes is much more similar. The style and the way they move is so much more similar. You have kind of the lanky frame, the quickness, the odd strike, and the way they move, and I think that makes for a lot of fun. And the other reason is this. To me, personally, for my money, I think Anderson Silva is the greatest fighter that has ever walked the planet. I think he's the number one pound-for-pound fighter of all time. I think if John Jones doesn't derail himself, I think he's setting himself up to be in a similar type position. You know, obviously, it's still very early in his career, and you don't want to put too much pressure on the young man at this stage in his career. But if he's able to keep performing at the level that he is now, I don't understand, you know, how he wouldn't get to that level as well. And for one, I think it would be a shame for those two to never fight and for us always to have to wonder who really was the greatest of all time. And if you're talking about legacies, and Anderson Silva says it's not about money, but if it is about legacies, if it is about being the greatest of all time, if Anderson Silva could beat John Jones, and maybe that's his retirement fight. Maybe he walks away after that. But if Anderson Silva could beat John Jones, John Jones could win the next 30 fights in a row and retire with just that one real loss, and he could never claim the greatest ever because he had a chance to beat the greatest ever and he fell short.
John, thank you very much for surviving this segment. We look forward to having you on again. Your analysis is on par, my friend.
Hey, pleasure. I think the insults were worse than the illness, man. So I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on, brother.
There you have it. John Morgan, lead staff reporter for MMAJunkie.com. We have to run. Tyler, thank you very much for coming in today, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.